So today I'm at Upper Yards Grangehill Farm near Cheltenham with Fergal O'Brien. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us today, Fergal.
Thanks for coming.
First of all, can you give us a bit of your family background? Were you steeped in racing as a child?
No, despite the name O'Brien, certainly wasn't. My father was a bus driver for 30 odd years with CIE, or there's no bus air, and my mother was a breakfast cook in a local hotel. I'm the youngest of six. My brother David and my brother Brian, who went into racing, I sort of followed them. So Brian and David both worked in Ireland. David moved to Nicky Henderson's, and Brian went to Doug Francis, who then was taken over by Richard Francis, his son. I spent the summer at Richard Francis when I was 14, had my 15th birthday there, yeah. And they sent me to the racing school, so that's where I sort of started. Went to the racing school at 16, and from the racing school spent 3.5 years with Captain Tim Foster, which was a great experience. Totally different than the way we do it now, but a wonderful man to work for. He was brilliant man to work for. He was very, really looked after his staff, loved his horses, had some great owners, and I still got some of my best friends are from those days. So that was a great grounding. I had a year in a private with a private trainer, 9 months with a private trainer. He went bust, so then I had 3 months with Ginger McCain, which was an experience. Donald had just come back from Newmarket at the time, was sort of assistant, and they had a very good conditional there called David Walsh, who ended up with us at Nigel's. And then after my stint there, I went to Nigel Twiston Davis's in 1992.
So you worked there for 19 years as head lad and then assistant. What were some highlights there at that time?
Oh, I learned everything there. I had a great time at the other place, and the captains was a wonderful grounding, and I met some great people there. But I did all my learning at Nigel's. Great man to work for, very loyal. Sam was only 10 months old when I arrived, so you just did everything. We did everything from horses to, we had cows at the time, cattle at the time, to babysitting. So it was a great time. Peter Scudamore just retired, so he was back around the place. And just some great years, Cheltenham Festival winners and things like that. So it was plenty of ups, plenty of downs, as with any racing year, but a great place to work. And say, 19 years there of and not a single regret about any of them.
So after 19 years, you're well ensconced in the yard. What was the catalyst that made you sort of decide to have a go yourself?
It was a combination. It wasn't just one single thing. Nigel and I had done a lot, just the two of us, for a long time. And then Carl Llewellyn had sort of lost his job with Malcolm Denmark. So Carl came back. It was actually my idea for Carl to bring Carl back, really. And it's not Carl's fault, it takes two to tango, but it just didn't gel as well as we thought it might. And so rather than stay and whinge about it and be unhappy, I'd had a few good seasons point to point, and I was a leading trainer and a Midlands trainer for 4 years in a row. So I had a small owner base, and I had a very good owner called Chris Coley, who I used to buy the horses for that ran at Nigel's. Chris said that he would back me, so it was that was the catalyst to go.
So you've had a lot of success. You did mention point to points there. You've had a lot of success training pointers. How important do you think the grassroots point to point racing is to national hunt racing?
I think it's very, I think it's important for people like me to find our way about training. I think it's very important for the jockeys to learn to race ride. All those, the Bowens, Sam, Willie, they all started off point to point. All those really good jockeys all started off point to point. A lot of good trainers started off point to point. Tom Lacey, Sam Drinkwater, they're all doing very well. And I think it's very important. I really try and support our own local point to point still. We still have a couple of pointers we try to run there. We take a table there at our local point to point on the day to take owners and entertain owners there, just to try and give a little bit back. But I think point to point is still very important.
Is it becoming more of a big business? You hear stories about Irish maidens, and then somebody goes and buys one for eye-watering amounts of money. Is it sort of going that way more?
No, there's a few over here, but I don't think it'll ever be like it is in Ireland. horses are different, are treated different in Ireland. You know, if you've got a big garden in Ireland, you're going to have a mare and a foal, and that doesn't work like that over here. So although you have, you know, the likes of Tom Lacey's and Francesco Nemo and a few of them, who are, you know, buying youngsters, winning their pint of points and then selling them for good money, I don't think it'll ever be on the scale that it is in Ireland, where, you know, there's 15 consigners who are doing it week in, week out.
Okay, there's another aspect of racing, so a pony racing, are you getting involved in that?
Yes, I'm very lucky to have my eldest daughter, Fern, who's 12, and Fern rides out for me. I'm very lucky that, you know, got good facilities here, so we got 6, 7, maybe 8 horses that she's capable of riding out and riding work on, and even Petty Power is a lovely horse that we train. She's managed to school him over some jumps, which is a great grounding for her. And the pony racing, you know, just as she's had 3 rides and just brought her on no end. So again, you know, you've only got to look at the likes of the Bowens and people like that to see where they've come from. Sam, Willie Twisson Davis, where they've come from, it's been phenomenal for them, you know. And I think that's, you know, that's only going to get better.
And also interestingly, especially for us at Star Sports, you're into greyhound racing as well, anyway.
Well, yeah, I'm very lucky in that Dr. Simon Gilson, who's our does all our social media to a huge high level. Simon's mad into the greyhounds, and I share a couple of greyhounds with Simon and a few others. Don't go as often as we like, but we're very lucky. Paul Foster trains down in Swindon, it's not far. I do enjoy a night at the greyhounds. It's good fun, and I really enjoy that side of it.
You talked about Dr. Simon there, that does your social media. I mean, from what I can see, you're sort of single-handedly blowing the stuffy image of racehorse trainers out of the water. What makes you a different kettle of fish to that?
Well, it's nice of you to say, but I think racing has changed. You know, I've always believed from the day I started training was, you know, we're part of an entertainment industry. You know, we're no different than a theatre or a leisure centre. You know, we got to make it enjoyable. It's an expensive hobby, and you got to make it enjoyable. If people aren't spending the amount of money that they are and not having a good time, they're not going to hang about. So we do our best. Look, we don't get it right all the time, and there's lots that we can improve on, but we do our best to try and make it enjoyable. Whether you've got 5 horses or a fifth of a horse here, you know, we try and do what we can for everyone, that they go away either from the yard or from the race course feeling that have had a good day.
So the fun aspect, especially to your social media and the way you treat your owners, but is your training regime a little more traditional, or have you sort of put the fun in that as well?
No, we try and keep I've always believed, and you know, Nigel was very good at this, you know, you got happy staff, you got happy horses. So we've always tried to keep that. You know, in the winter when we had a bit of a lull and not having many winners, Paddy Brown took every one of the staff out one night for a steak night, and things like that just perk everyone up and pulls everyone together, and you go forward again. You know, it's a hard job. It's a hard job for these boys and girls. They're young. They're starting very early in the morning. You know, some of them have got their own horses that they do at lunchtime. They're getting wet and cold most days. It's been a particularly hard winter. So you've got to try and keep a smile on their face and keep them going forward. But I'm very lucky that the staff we have, and you know, Kevin Brown, my head lad, and Ali Sterling, who does the sort of secretarial side and rides a few for us. I'm very lucky to have those people, yeah.
Well, we already touched on the social media. How important do you feel that is, well, to a modern yard like yourself, and also racing in general?
Look, like I said to you coming up the drive, I feel very privileged and lucky to be involved in such a great sport. Jump racing in itself has got so many knockers within the sport, you know. We mentioned a few names on the way up, but you know, I just think that it's a wonderful sport, and I'm lucky that I've got Simon, who, you know, we have a winner and he gets it out there straight away, and people feel connected to that. You know, it's important that when owners come to the yard, they get to know all the horses, not just their own horses, so that they feel connected, that they, you know, whoever's horse is winning, that they're happy that we're having winners, you know. So I think the social media is very important.
Okay, you obviously enjoy training. Do you also enjoy race days?
I love race days, yeah. You know, it's like any job, it's like any sport. Yeah, you have your good days and your bad days, and there's days I go racing where I, you know, you're going there hoping that they'll run well, and there's days you go there and you know they will run well, you know. But I'm very lucky to have a good group of jockeys that ride for us, you know, Paddy Brennan, Alan Coley, Conor Schumacher, not so much these days, but, you know, get great feedback from them. And I always feel that whatever, win or lose, you know, a race day's got to be a learning curve. So if you run well, you've got to take what you can out of it and keep trying to improve it. And if you don't run so well, you've got to try and find the positives and again, learn from it and go forward.
Any particular moments at the races, not necessarily a winner, that sort of stuck in your mind is, you know, sort of standing out at all?
Obviously our standout moment this year was the our grade one, you know, having our first grade one winner for Chris Coley, who's been my sort of business partner and my main financial backer from day one, you know. Without Chris, I just wouldn't be sitting here doing this interview with you. So to have a grade one for him was, you know, absolutely brilliant at Newbury. That was a great day.
You said before you encourage your owners to come to the yard, but what people may not know is that's as long as they bring some cake. So what's the stingiest and most flamboyant bit of bacon you've had arrive at up the yard?
The stingiest is a Tesco's homemade bit of cake, but we've had some wonderful creations here. And you know, the Victoria sponge is my favourite, so I'll always go back to the Victoria sponge. But we've had some great cakes, and people don't actually necessarily have to bring cake, but we do encourage people to come, because Saturday mornings, you know, they'll come and watch two lots. We're very lucky to have the Black Horse pub very near to us. They do a buffet breakfast, and people go down there and they just mix as owners. So, you know, you go down and you sit and have breakfast with Tony and Karen Exall, and suddenly you're watching Oscar Rose run, you know, and you feel you got a connection there and you see that winning. So I think that all adds to the experience of having a racehorse, and that's the you know, we get huge positive feedback from our mornings on the gallops and a Saturday morning, the breakfast, you know, which, you know, again, I'm very lucky to have Chris Coley organising. There's a few other people there who help him, you know, so I can just concentrate on training the horses.
Talking of horses, how many have you got at the moment?
We're full at 63, so we got 63 in, and we've probably got 10 or 12 to come in still. So once a few more of these have had a run or they're ready to rough off to go on the field, once the weather gets a bit better, then we've got a few more to come back in for the summer.
If I've done my research right, you got 60 winners this year, and you also had 60 winners the previous year.
Yeah, we did.
You talked about obviously getting the grade one was a massive landmark. What's been your most memorable apart from that?
Our most memorable this year, again, we'll probably go back to Paul Edwin when he won the Persian War, but you know, we've been very lucky. You know, Jenny Surprise winning the Royal Artillery with Brodie Hampson on her. You know, Colin Siss has been a phenomenal horse for us. So we've had some great days, not too many to sort of single one out really, but you know, Barney Dunn's been a wonderful horse master. He won the Betdaq, which is the old racing post chase, you know, massive race and just after Christmas. So we've had some great days, yeah.
You're very keen on syndication, from what I've read. Do you think that is the way to attract more people into the sport, make it more accessible? Because it is still by nature a rich man's sport, at least in ownership.
I mean, like I said earlier, we're very lucky in that I got some great owners with 4, 5, 6, 7 horses as individuals, and then we've got some great syndicates. And look, I couldn't do syndicates without Sally. Sally and Emma run them, and Sally's very good at, and Simon again, at getting these what we call the FOB racing partnerships together. And they run like clockwork now. They're basically, we get 8 people together, and it's depending on what the first couple want to spend, it's $3,000 or $4,000 a piece, and then it's £240 a month. Everyone knows what they're spending. But I think it's a great way of getting involved, you know. I think it's I've known lots of owners who could afford a racehorse by themselves, but they actually do like going racing with a group of people. It's someone to share the good times with and the maybe not so good times with that. I think it's a great way forward, yeah.
So we did mention, we talked a bit earlier, if there could be a big change in the sport and you could make it, what would it be in any aspect?
We spoke earlier, and there isn't a huge amount. People love to bat on about prize money. Prize money is great at the minute, you know. It's going up. Race courses are doing a fantastic job of looking after owners. Staff wages have improved. Their race day staff's race day experience has improved. I just think racing is in a great place, and I'm not sure I'm qualified enough to say that it needs this, that, or the other. I think the whip rules they have implemented, which there was a lot of uproar about, have, you know, have done fantastic things, and going forward, I think that's only going to be a great thing. Cheltenham is a fantastic meeting. The festival, our showcase meeting, is fantastic. Aintree, again, safety features are second to none. Horse welfare is second to none. So there's not a lot that I think that we need to change, but I'm sure there are people who will think of things to change and make racing better, and I'm sure it's always for the good and the greater racing.
Okay, thank you. And finally, from a personal point of view, what are the ambitions and hopes for the future for the yard?
To just keep growing numbers. This year would have been nice to get 61 winners, but we did have £100,000 more in prize money. So to achieve that again next year or a little bit more, that would be fantastic. To keep the horses healthy and sound and to be consistent. You know, we had a quiet winter because of the ground, but so everyone did. And you know, it'd be nice just to see the horses just keep improving as they are, and the quality keep improving as it is.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Johnny Ward presents The Front Runner in association with starsports.bet. 18 and over. Be gamble aware.